shy little Uber, liver, liver, leap.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You're tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, and here again, our favorite guru gardener, Lance Swaggart. Good evening.
Good evening.
Great to be here.
Yeah.
This feels like spring's right around the corner.
It is, and
yeah.
It was a nice warm day.
Nice warm day. The sun was shining. The snow is melting. Yeah, pretty rapidly. And we are here to take your calls, and Lance is here to provide some information. But we'd love to hear from you and love to see what you're doing out there, too. So 970-527-4868, 866-KVNF now. You can email us, worm@kvnf.org. You were out pruning today, right, Lance?
I was pruning, yeah.
And what are you working on? What trees?
I was a little bit of everything, but mainly it was a couple really big cherry trees.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought a brand new pair of loppers. That actually extend. So they're at their longest, they're about 3 feet long. So it was nice. And they got a compound or something like that. And they really cut big branches really easy.
Oh, nice. So your new tool was
working
good for you.
Yeah. So that was fun. And then I got into some apricots and there was a sour cherry and some peaches.
Okay. So,
yeah. And I'll still be doing apples and things yet.
Yeah, so if you don't think it's time to get out there, you're fooling yourself.
Yeah.
There's plenty to do.
Yeah, and you got to wear sunglasses.
Right,
and,
so beautiful.
And you're looking straight up, and even though you don't, your face will get sunburned.
Okay, so get the sunscreen out.
Yeah.
And the sunglasses, and I think I just want to mention the birds because I did see my first robin today.
Oh, nice.
Very exciting. They're just crazy out there with everything melting and finding little seeds everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah,
you've got a lot of turkeys out.
I have a lot of turkeys, and there's some cottonwoods down in the canyon that they like to spend the night in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they get on the side
turkey
of the canyon, and they just sort of flap their wings a couple times and float down to these cottonwood trees.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
All right. See, right down there. You've got some interesting terrain up there as far as where the wildlife travels and your cats and things like that. All right, 970-527-4868, 866-KVNF now. And we do have Tiffany in Ridgeway who sent us an email, worm@kvnf.org. Good evening, Lance. Okay, Tiffany is expanding her garden this year, and the area where her new rows will be built is full of really hardy and aggressive grasses. So she didn't put cardboard down in the fall to smother the grass, and by the time the snow melts in that section of the yard, it will be too late to put the cardboard down. So she's been tossing around the idea of renting a sod cutter to remove the grass. What are your thoughts on that approach, Lance?
Well, the sod cutter is only going to go down at best an inch to 2 inches. And that grass, I suspect, is a lot of quack grass, maybe some bunching grasses.
She says it's hardy and aggressive. So,
Those rhizomes, not the roots, the rhizomes, which are what reproduce, those are probably 6 to 8 inches down, the deepest ones. So you're not going to touch it.
Right.
You know, so I mean, you could do it. You could take it off, at least that top 2 inches or so, and you can actually stack it and make a compost bin out of it. I had a friend that did that with his lawn.
Oh,
he actually took the pieces of sod and stacked it in the wall like you would do pallets or something.
Right.
And he composted in that, and the grass eventually died and composted. And then you could maybe till or something. But I was thinking just to smother grass is not – you do not do it in the fall through the winter because it's going dormant. It's not going to do a thing. You need to put that cardboard down now.
Oh, so not too late then.
No, you do it now or when the snow's off. And if you really want to plant in there, go ahead. You know, you could till it, put some compost manure in it, put the cardboard down, and then cut holes in the cardboard and plant.
Where you want your rows to
be. Yeah, and you'll get a little bit of grass by where the plants are. But that's what I would do. That's one thing to do.
Okay, well, that's great because she was thinking it was too late to do that.
Yeah, I mean, personally,
pretty much
if you really want that grass to die, you like that, and I would hand turn it. and let it sit there all winter, you're going to get 95% of the grass gone just from the freezing and thawing.
So that's something she could do next fall, hand turn it.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah. And you start in September, mm-hmm. August, and you know,
do people a little bit at a time. And
people look at my garden, who's did all this? And I says, I'm the only one here. But it was done at 15 and 20 minutes, 30 minutes at
right.
a time.
You're good at that in your plan of attack. You never overdo one thing to wear you out.
No.
You change it up frequently. Yeah. Variety is the spice of life in your day, for sure. Okay, so that's great advice. Not too late on the cardboard, and she could really go after it in the fall if she wanted to.
Yeah.
Okay, 970-527-4868, 866-KVNF now. Jeff is ready to answer your call and send it on through, and we love it when we have callers. Okay. One of the things you've noticed out there is that the snow is melting and there's some freezing and thawing going on the ground. And you notice some stuff coming up.
Well, yeah, not the way we want it to come up.
Not yet.
No. I had friends, and I've had this happen to me in the past, on this when the ground's really sopping wet, when the snow first melts and they're still freezing and thawing, it pushes the garlic out of the ground. It heaves it.
Oh, sure.
And so – anybody out there, go out there and see if that might be the case. And if they haven't been too frozen on top of the surface, you can actually stick those guys back in the ground.
Yeah, just push them back in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or you can replant. But anyways, I generally have just pushed it back in the ground and never had a problem. You know, but it does happen.
Yeah. Garlic is hardy, and it is getting pretty warm at night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
– yeah.
And all kinds of things coming up under that snow melt now. I mean,
Well, this is a funny little thing, but I thought, oh, look at that. And so I started looking at all the different weed seeds that have germinated just because of this moisture.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
and
it's interesting it's under there.
Yeah. It's phenomenal. And I mean, obviously, cheatgrass, which is, sometimes if you have a good moist fall, it comes up in the fall, but it comes up but whenever it gets moisture. So that's there. And it has a reddish green to it this time of year.
Is now a good time to get rid of that? Or?
Well, yes, one hoeing will take care of it.
Okay.
You know, but if you – it actually – because if you – I'm going to say this, people think I'm crazy, but it actually makes a good cover crop.
Okay.
As long as you till it in before it makes the seed head.
Okay, you know, that's always
– yeah, yeah. So
if as you, Lulu would say, it plays fair.
Yeah, it plays mm-hmm. fair. And stuff, but it actually in my garden that was cheatgrass, and I just tilled it in.
Wow!
Before
okay.
it ever went to seed.
Okay.
Yeah, and stuff. Let's see what else is out there. Burr buttercup, which we've had that discussion last spring, and it has that little yellow flower.
Right.
And it's not puncture vine, or it's not
goat.
Goat head. Goat.
Yeah, that's what we all
yeah.
are.
Yeah. Yeah. Goat heads do not, or also known as puncture vine. Is doesn't come up till the soil's warm.
So does it also have that little flower on it?
It has a little yellow flower, mm-hmm. but it's prostrate. It just grows right along the top of the ground.
Okay.
It likes gravel and, you know.
Right.
But so does the burr buttercup. That's where it wants to be, you know, gravel, dry ground, you know, not too much competition.
Mm-hmm. So the goat head's going to come up a little bit later.
Yeah.
All right. What else are you seeing out there?
There's pepper grass, and then there's some cheatgrass I mentioned, lamb's quarter. And if you do have lamb's quarter coming up, and you time your planting of kiwa when the lamb's quarter comes up.
Seems really early for that, but
yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Love the lamb's quarter. And you said that's from the same family.
They're in the same family.
Yeah, that's
the
very
seeds
interesting
from,
to me.
If you do, I don't know how to process it, but lamb's quarter seed is actually quite edible.
Sure, yeah. I'm thinking of it now when it does go to seed. It does look a little quinoa-ish.
Yeah, yeah, it's actually quite edible. And mm-hmm. I've heard of the native the Indians used to eat it quite a bit.
All right. I'm looking forward to the lamb's mm-hmm. quarter in my mm-hmm. salad, and also dandelions
popping up. There's the prostrate knotweed, which is a low growing. It has a similar growth pattern as puncture vine or goat head.
Uh-huh, right, but that low to the ground
it
thing.
It wants to be in the edge of gravel driveways. They'll be in gardens, they're generally out in the gravel driveway. And, not too good of soil. Mm-hmm. Tremendous taproot, and so in one sense they do break up the soil. But they're a tough one to hoe off. They're really pretty tough to hoe off as a weed.
Is that one of those you might want to use like a vinegar?
Vinegar. And if you went out there right now with a torch the side, people have flames for burning weeds.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. And this would be a good time if it's really – all those things aren't grown very much that it wouldn't take much to
– just torch it up.
Yeah.
And that is kind of fun.
Yeah. And then, and mallow. And it's, there is moisture. So there, as far as starting a big fire right now, it's relatively safe.
Yeah. Oh, I love seeing that mallow come up. It's just like a carpet in my backyard. So. Mm-hmm. And you've got your resource there, Weeds of the West. Some of these are great weeds. I mean, these
yes.
are some of these things that we like to have.
Yeah. Well, let me see. The pepper grass, I have heard that you can take the seeds as a substitute for pepper.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Of course, you can eat lamb's quarter. Dandelions, you can eat all different parts of it.
Yeah.
The mallow's really good to eat. It's also known as buttonweed.
Okay.
That's another name. And the kochia can get up to 6 feet tall.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Now that good, one's...
Yeah, and... doesn't really
have any.
Yeah. It seems like I've heard that cattle really like it, but maybe not so much on this. I heard they really like it on the front range.
Oh.
They really like it, but for whatever reasons, it doesn't get eaten that much here.
Kochia. That's a tall one. I'm not sure that I'm familiar with what that. I'm going to need to look at your Weeds of the West book on that.
Yeah. And it, it can be 6 inches tall with the drought. And stuff, but it has good soil and water, 6 feet. I've seen it 6 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. It's going to be interesting this year because we did have so much moisture during the winter, and just last year was so abundant.
Yeah. Well, I dug a stump out down to 18 inches the other day, and it was wet.
Oh, really?
The way down.
And how does
that? And that was before the snow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty moist.
Yeah.
You think that's comparable to?
I think most areas are like maybe not down lower, like in Delta or Montes, but up in the valleys. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's been great. Enjoying it. All right, you can call and share what's going on in your garden and what you're thinking about planting and doing. 970-527-4868, 866 KVNF now. And worm at kvnf.org is the email. Lance is always right on his computer.
Oh, yes.
I know that surprises people, but you're very high tech when you're in here.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to talk about something rather ancient, and it's compost.
Compost.
You are the king of compost, Lance. And
I always have piles going.
You do. And I think last week we talked about how you've got your first pile built.
Mm-hmm.
And what's in that first pile?
Well, what I do is I start with one layer, and it started with I forgot to mention this. Well, when we were talking here, I forgot. I take also put a bale of hay.
Okay.
Old rotten hay.
Rotten hay.
Yeah, and half of it in the first layer, and then I put two wheelbarrows of garden waste trimmings from last year. And then I put a wheelbarrow of straw on that and a wheelbarrow of leaves.
And you're layering it.
Layering this all.
Okay.
And then I put two scoopfuls of shovelfuls of finished compost from last year. And that's my yeast or inoculant.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put an inch or two of manure on top of that, probably more like 2 inches or more. And wet that down.
Okay.
And
what's the layering concept? I'm thinking compost pile.
You want it all mixed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it is.
Okay.
And then I repeat that a second time.
Okay.
And
so I think your pile's been going, for 5 or 6 weeks?
Well, I said it will be finished in 6 weeks.
It'll be finished in 6 weeks. No. Okay. So, all right. And let's talk about that manure that you put in there. What is the goal with the compost pile?
Well, the main is two parts carbon to one part nitrogen.
Two parts carbon,
yeah, that's
one
what
part
you're,
nitrogen.
Yeah, so nitrogen is anything coming from the manure.
Okay.
You know, of any source of manure, you know. And green grass is a great source.
Okay.
You know, nitrogen.
All right. I think we've got a caller on the line. Our little talkback feature's not working, but hello, caller. Are you there?
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi. Who are we speaking with?
My name's Eileen.
Hi, Eileen.
Calling in from Norwood.
Oh, great. What's going on?
Well, I've got a question regarding fruit trees. And it's fairly simplistic, I think, but I'm a neophyte fruit tree grower. So I put two little brand new plum trees in Outback late fall, like shortly before the snow flew.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering about the watering of them. I didn't get to water them a whole lot, which I was told to do. And then they've sat under snow until one of them's still under snow and one of them's not. So what I'm wondering is, do you have any advice for what else I might do for them to hopefully get these babies to fruit in the next year or two?
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, that's definitely late planting, but it's perfectly okay.
Uh-huh.
And as long as you keep them moist, and since you had snow cover, you didn't have to water them. If there's no snow cover, you would have had to water them, you know, just once a month. Not even very much. It's just once a month. And you can fertilize them with anything that you can get your hands on. Mm-hmm. You know, even manure tea, compost tea, fish emulsion. There's plenty of liquid type fertilizers. Even put some kelp in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can mulch them and
whatever.
The only mulch I wouldn't use that people really like is wood chips.
Okay.
And the reason why is, and we are talking about compost, is that wood chips, I mentioned two parts carbon to one part nitrogen.
Mm-hmm.
Wood chips by themselves are 400 parts carbon to one part nitrogen.
Wow.
So you're going to really ruin your nitrogen problem putting wood chips down. But you can use spoiled hay. You can use grass. If you use leaves, you're going to have to cover them with a little bit of hay or something because they will blow away in the wind. You know. So, anyways, and keep the mulch about 6 inches away from the trunks. Because what happens if you put it right up to the trunks of the tree is the rodent will go right underneath that mulch and girdle your tree.
Okay.
A mouse, gopher, voles. So that's why you keep the mulch about 6 inches from the trunk.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, great.
All right. Good luck, Eileen.
All right.
Appreciate
Thanks
all
call.
The info. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. So just go for it. Pile it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. All right. We have Anthony on the line. Good evening, Anthony.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
I'm okay. You guys are a gold mine. Because, I mean, it's just so awesome to hear. I mean, this is the kind of thing that I heard from my grandfather, because he was
awesome.
But you know about the mulching? I hadn't heard that for ages, Lance, about keep it back from the trunk, you know. So
right.
But anyway, I was just going to call to give you a box elder alert.
Uh-oh.
This is my passion to rid the world of box elder. This is down here.
We're losing you there.
Are you gone?
Oh, there you are. You're back.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. Down here in Junction, they've been out for, you know, a week or so, or 10 days maybe. So
no kidding.
They might just be getting your way. But you know, just go look on the south, or sort of in southwest the spot, and they'll all be swarming up there down by the ground, like on a garage or shed.
Oh, it's warm there.
Oh, good.
Newcomers.
I'm with you. Them and the elm bugs.
I'm not
talking about raid or something. I just got some isopropyl alcohol, because all you got to do is destroy their exoskeleton and they're done, and that works fine.
So you sprayed that on them, or you just
Yeah, I just put some in some water. I mean, I started using Windex, but it's a lot more expensive. Just,
no. Right.
Rubbing alcohol, great.
No, this is at my parents' house. It's in the old part of Grand Junction.
Sure.
I mean, when they first moved there, like 20 years ago, I didn't even visit them. But, I mean, by the time I started working out, my mom was like, oh, look, they're all in their bike fixtures and the house. And so I think you guys first told me. It's like, go out there and find them. Or grouping up or whatever, but after this spend, I've been like after them for like 5 years, and they're really massively reduced.
Oh, great.
Okay. Their persistence pays off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a good nuking material.
Hey, Anthony, how are those white apricots?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it hasn't come out yet.
Okay.
I planted them in my parents' garden. I got a nice garden.
Okay, there. Good.
Oh, I'll go check, actually, since you mentioned it. Thank you very much. I hope they do well. I was going to tell you another thing you were saying about you can use mallow, and I discovered from those guys at Heart of the Dragon up there that they taught me a lot about this use of these stuff like that. I was like, wherever I live in my food life, because normally it was kind of a farm on the edge of town, where it had been a farm once, right? There was mallow. And so that's what my life, I've been trying to dig up mallow. Can't get rid of it, which, as you know, you can't do.
Wait a minute. You can get rid of mallow.
What's the...
First of all you got to do is go an inch below the crown.
Oh, man, I was going down 3 inches.
I know. You only need to go an inch below the crown and chop it off, and you got to continuously do that, because what the problem is the seed bank is in the soil.
Right. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah,
and that's where you got. That's where they're going to be there for years, and it seems like years and years and years.
Yeah, because I mean, sometimes when you pull out a great big one, there's a bit of bare dirt, and then 50 will start coming up. Because like you said, there's obvious babies in there.
You disturb the soil, and there's all those seedlings got bare ground to work.
So that's why you don't go as far.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've got some good battles going on there, Anthony.
No, but I got to tell you, they're kind of significant with mallow. But then, you know, here a couple of years ago, I almost died, as you might know, from pancreatitis. And so they were telling me, you know, and other people, some other people that my mom knows a bunch of people, energy people and stuff, and grandchildren, that mallow is for your digestion.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
And so, all of those years, I shouldn't have been digging it up because I've been eating it.
Yeah, that's right.
Graze, Anthony, graze.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot, guys.
Oh, right, glad to hear from you. Glad you're doing well. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Good deal. Yeah, here come the box elder bugs. Get ready. The elm beetles are already here.
Yes.
And I've been using some different things. I think I'm going to try some watery alcohol, Windex, soapy water. Yeah. I don't know. But okay, 970-527-4868, 866-KVNF now. And it's Jane on the line. Good evening, Jane. Are you there, Jane? Oh, let's see if she's there. Oh, Jeff's going to try to get her back. So in the meantime, let's get back to talking a little bit more about compost and those. I think she's there.
Yeah.
Hello, Jane.
Hi, Jane.
Yeah. I just wanted to comment on early spring making of compost piles. You know, Lance, you made everything the carbon, but in spring it's so hard to get the green stuff. And you need the green stuff to make that pile really cook up.
Uh-huh.
And so in my experience, when I had a backyard that had grass and I cut it, I'd put that in my compost and it would just go crazy. I don't have grass anymore. But anyway, I just wanted to see if you had any ideas for green stuff in the spring, early spring.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, well, like in...
Oh, Jane. Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, you can get any fresh manure.
Jane, could you turn your radio down? Thank you. Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead, Lance.
I'm just saying you can get any type of manure. Fresh manure, the fresher the better. And if you really want to add something, there's a blood mill.
Bud mill?
Blood.
Oh, blood mill. Blood meal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you can get that in the garden centers. And it comes in a 5-pound or bag or something like that, and that's put in there as a nitrogen.
So that's so something to help compensate.
Yeah, there's
for
blood
that.
Mill, there's feather mill, same thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's from chickens, all the ground up feathers and stuff. It will work different nutrients, but mm-hmm. You can do that. And if you want to, urine works really good.
Okay.
You know, if you need to add some extra nitrogen that way.
And that's sort of the trick at different times of the year. You're changing your compost pile up depending on what mm-hmm. you're putting in there mm-hmm. and trying to get that ratio, mm-hmm. your proper proportion.
Yeah,
there.
And yeah, you want to get as close to that as possible. And there, this time of year, you're obviously it is harder to get green material.
Mm-hmm.
I remember talking to Elliot Coleman, interviewing him right here years
oh, wow.
ago,
mm-hmm.
and you know, he's quite well known and written many books and traveled the world talking about gardening and stuff like that and growing food, market gardening, actually. And he said, I'll take a low nitrogen pile over a high nitrogen pile any day.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's just easier to get the balance?
Yeah, mm-hmm. and stuff. And the low pile will always work. It just takes longer.
Okay.
But the high nitrogen pile, those are the ones that really stink. They get mucky. They attract, you know,
critters and
yeah, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. So
and your compost piles don't stink.
No,
I mean you just got that right. It shows you're getting that right balance.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. The compost pile, if it's made right, will never stink.
And it remains aerobic.
Yeah, it has to have. Yeah, that's the balance part. Is the moisture, air mm-hmm. is the most important. You know, it's not nitrogen, carbon. I mean, go more carbon over too much nitrogen, because too much nitrogen will make it really stink too.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jane, for your question about that. And we've got Deborah in Norwood with a question. Good evening, Deborah.
Hello.
Hi. What's going on?
Yeah. I was trying to do a lasagna layer in my garden. Hmm. Do you have any ideas, like a 101, when how to start that?
You know, I've not done lasagna garden. I've seen it. And it's several layers of different materials, and one of them will be manure. So you have a mix in there. It's
you
almost
know
like
layer?
You probably the second or third layer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I bet you it'd be every third layer. You'll need some sort of manure in there.
Okay, to heat it up.
Yeah. Well, it's the nitrogen just to help break down those materials.
And yeah. I have cardboard on my garden right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so then. I know I need to take that off because it's added the nitrogen already, right? Or does it need to break down?
Do you want that? Is the cardboard there to for weeds?
Yeah, that added nitrogen.
Huh.
Doesn't the cardboard add nitrogen?
No, cardboard is paper or wood product, so it's 400 parts carbon to one part nitrogen.
Oh.
Okay.
So it's actually, as far as nitrogen, no. You need to add a lot of chicken manure in that, or a lot of nitrogen to get that to break down.
All right, so maybe.
No, I want to take it off.
Yeah. Yeah. Take it off, shred it up, and, you know, set it aside if you have a compost area, and let it age some more. It will break down.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then at what point do we add our incredible compost that we have?
It can be part of that lasagna gardening.
And on top?
You can put it on top in the middle because it's got all the, what do I call it, the macrobiotic life,
mm-hmm.
the
yeah, okay.
life in it. And you yeah. want some down a little bit lower, but
right.
you're going to want some up a little bit higher.
Just like in lasagna.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what kind of, what's the layer of how much of that?
I think it's an inch or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And remember, everything's going to settle.
Right.
You know, when you put in.
Adding to it.
Yeah. When you put in 6 inches of mulch, like just mulching, mm-hmm. it's going to be 2 inches pretty quickly.
No matter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Short time.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right.
All right,
good
thanks.
Luck, Deborah. Like a report on that lasagna garden.
Yeah.
A lot of people are trying that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it's interesting.
It's a good way to get a lot of organic matter there. You
right.
just got to remember to keep doing it.
Right.
But if you put it on, I've had a friend that put it on too thick in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
His soil never dried out. It was muck.
No kidding.
He had to take it all off, you know, because he put it on the winter helpful, mm-hmm. and he put it on too thick. Now, if he put it on a little bit thinner, it would have been okay.
So another one of those little balance
yeah,
things.
Yeah, you have to figure it out. But it's better to go lightly again and add more as you go along than
to try to add it all in.
Yeah, at once.
Okay. All right. Great information and a lot of good callers tonight.
Yeah,
love that. Good questions.
We'll continue compost.
Continue another
yeah.
day. Well, next week we'll have Wynn Clearwater in here as mm-hmm. a special guest to join the conversation, and who knows where that will go. But thanks, everybody, for listening and calling tonight. Thanks yeah. for being here, Lance. It's Lady J in there
mm-hmm.
for One Woman's Perspective coming up next. So thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KBNF.
Yeah, have a good evening.
Master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.